Hockey Power Training Center and the Hockey Shop are getting Speedy Oil Change Team Users and Subway Team Hardline ready for the D&M Leasing Charity Challenge on Ice 7, March 29th at AAC from Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to The Hardline. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. We have the Ranch Report with Mickey Spagnola on the way.
It is Thursday. If it's Thursday, you know what that means.
Ranch Report.
Hey, can we correct that? Because the caller said that, and we kind of doubted him on the second punch.
Yeah, we just saw another angle where...
He did.
Well, did the punch land, though?
It didn't land, but as he was going down and they were sliding on the ice, after he'd hit him with the right hand and they fell down... He did draw his right hand back and was in the process of punching again when the other guy landed on top of him. So he was trying to hit him again. Just trying to be fair and accurate, fair and balanced.
Well, let's be fair and balanced with this that we're about to do now. Let's bring Cobra back on here.
Hello, fellas.
Hi there.
First off, we need to give a very special birthday shout out to Wayne Lee.
What's going on, man?
Is today Wayne's birthday?
Today is Wayne's birthday.
Wow.
Wayne is probably one of the greatest listeners of all time.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Hello, Farmy.
I love Wayne.
You know how old he is?
How old's Wayne today?
58 years young, Greg.
58 years young.
58.
Well, all right, man. How you doing?
did he call you today, Danny?
What do you think?
He calls you every day, doesn't he?
I didn't get to talk to him today. Snake intercepted that phone call today.
Yeah, I talked to him.
Well, I wanted to talk to Wayne on his birthday.
Well, Wayne Lee, happy birthday from the hard line.
That's right.
Just keep listening, buddy.
Carter.
Why is he calling the smoking keyboard player?
Carter.
Yeah.
He's a big fan.
I think he was trying to say Cobra.
He's a big Sparrows fan.
That's good for Wayne Lee.
All right, so last...
And Wayne Lee will wear a ticket T-shirt, too.
Oh my God.
Last Sunday was the second-to-last episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm for the year. And when I watched it initially, I thought, you know what? That is, if not the best one of the year, it's certainly in the top two or three. And then I went back and watched it again. Because I always like to watch those shows a couple of times thinking I missed something.
You know what? I think you have to watch all of those HBO shows twice to get them.
You mean like
Sopranos
and Six Feet Under?
6 Feet Under, because there's so much going on. They're so well written. Don't you, Ryan, that you've really got to go back a second time and pick up things you missed.
And you know, when you do watch them a second time, you realize how fast those things move, even when you think they're not.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So... The second time I watched it, I was thinking, you know what? I'm not sure if this is funny or just not right.
Plain offensive and in bad taste.
Yeah.
Because the show's in bad taste as it is.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. They tackled two of the most taboo subjects of all time last Sunday, 9/11 and the Holocaust.
And those are taboo as far as, you know, being made light of or... having anything funny associated with them.
Yeah, you just don't make jokes when you mention those.
You know, it's just best to stay away from both subjects. Just stay away from it.
And I can't believe he went after those. Now, being a Jewish guy, I can see how he can...
That gave him license.
He can skirt around the Holocaust thing. Kind of. But then the 9/11 thing, I was like, well, whatever, man. You want to go out there on that ledge? Go ahead.
You know, it's kind of like they were having a meeting one day, and they said, okay, what are the two most controversial and sensitive subjects to make fun of? And let's tackle both of them in the same episode.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was thinking it the first time I saw this.
Now, the genius part of it is that they did find a way to make those two subjects, I'm not going to say funny, but... The situation surrounding those subjects is funny.
It was comical how they bridged them together.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Because, I mean, I laughed. My wife was kind of laughing. And I was just thinking, is anyone laughing out there? Or are people just going, what the hell is Larry David doing?
Okay, basically, the first time, little straw poll here. When they said, you know, when he said his dad, he was bringing his dad over.
Uh-huh.
And he was going to bring a survivor with him.
Yeah.
You immediately knew What did you think of? You thought of a Holocaust survivor, right?
Yeah, I thought of that.
Immediately.
But then I knew something was going to be tricked up, and I told Julie right then. I go, no. I go, you know what he's going to do is he's going to bring a 9/11 survivor over there. Because they were already talking about 9/11.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was going to be some really weird, you know, a guy that was up, you know, uptown and just watched the buildings collapse, but he survived. I thought that was the angle he was going to take, not the whole, the Holocaust compared to the TV show Survivor.
Well, that's what people don't know, if they haven't seen it, what we're talking about, because he brought in that Colby Donaldson.
From Dallas.
Yeah.
Who was on the television show Survivor. All right, so before we get to that, let's get to the 9/11 thing, because he walks into his rabbi's office, and he's asking his rabbi a couple of questions, and he notices a picture right in front of the rabbi. And Larry goes, well, who's that? And the rabbi goes, that's my brother-in-law. He was a victim of 9/11. He died on September 11th. And Larry goes, oh, that's terrible. That's just horrible. He goes, was he in one of the buildings? And the rabbi goes, no, no, he was uptown, up on 57th Street. And Larry immediately is like, uptown? But he's a 9/11 victim? And the rabbi goes, well, he was hit by a bike messenger on 9/11.
Which...
So Larry just sat there thinking, okay, I don't want to call this guy out, my rabbi out, for equating his brother-in-law's death to what happened in the two towers. So he just kind of let it go. He was kind of going,
But you could tell that was eating him alive.
Yeah, it bothered him, but he didn't want to bring anything up. So eventually, at the end of the episode, the whole episode revolved around their 10-year renewal of their wedding vows, Larry and Cheryl. And
who, by the way, had her kid yesterday.
In real life?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And so, at the end of the episode...
She's ruined now.
The whole family's sitting around, and they're talking about the actual ceremony and what's going to have to take place. And Larry goes, okay, are we done here? Yeah, we're done. Well, let's roll. Okay, well, that offended the rabbi, because let's roll, obviously, is synonymous with the Pennsylvania plane flight when that Todd Beamer guy said let's roll when they eventually took over the hijackers. So here's what happened in that scene. This is how he tried to make 9/11 funny.
All right, everybody ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's roll.
What? Let's roll? What did you say?
What?
You know that my brother-in-law died on September 11th. How dare you say something like that?
With all due respect, wasn't that just a coincidence?
All right, poor choice of words.
What kind of a...
All right, that's wrong.
You know, I don't want to do this.
Forget it. Oh, I didn't know that if you died uptown on 9/11, that it was part of it, the tragedy.
Do I have to go on and on about this?
I didn't know that an uptown death on West 57th Street was part of the tragedy.
I don't think I want to do this. I really don't. I mean, you look like a snob. I don't think you're taking it seriously. You could have gone home with the stain.
Wow.
What chaos.
Oh, man. It was so tense, you know, because you really wanted to laugh, but then you kind of didn't. I mean, is the statute of limitations up on 9/11?
I think he handled it well. I don't think he made fun of 9/11. I think that was just a scene. It was just a vehicle to make something funny outside of that.
That Larry David, he can't let anything go.
No.
That's what it is. It's a vehicle for people to hate Larry. One more avenue that someone can go down to kick Larry David in the nuts for somebody else to hate the guy.
And see, I may be overthinking this, but I think that point was illustrated in this episode when he couldn't even let the eternity thing go with his wife.
Yeah, we'll get to that, too. So, then the Holocaust. You know, 9/11 is one thing. The Holocaust is a whole nother baby, because that is untouchable. There's nothing funny about that whatsoever. And so, at the party at Larry and Cheryl's house, whenever the rabbi said, hey, can I bring a survivor over to your house? Larry automatically thinks, well, it's a Holocaust survivor. And Larry goes to Cheryl and says, well, I want to bring my dad's good friend, Solly, over, who is a Holocaust survivor, so they can have something to talk about. And Cheryl's like, sure, bring him over. That'll be great. They can have a nice discussion, you know, whatever, and talk about whatever. So They set the scene at the party. Colby Donaldson walks in with the rabbi. Larry goes over and introduces himself, shocked that the rabbi would bring over a guy from the TV show Survivor. Then he goes over to his dad's friend who was there, the actual Holocaust survivor, who asks, well, where's the other survivor?
Yeah, where's the survivor?
And Larry points to Colby Donaldson, going, there he is over there.
You know, he's like 28.
Yeah, he's the guy from the TV show Survivor. And the actual survivor is just looking at him going, what the hell is going on? And immediately they cut to a dinner scene. And the first voice you hear is Colby. And he and the survivor guy go back and forth. Now, this was hilarious the first time I saw it. And the second time I was like, oh, God.
So here we are in a region of Australia where out of the world's 10 most deadly snakes, 9 of them inhabit this region.
Oh.
It was terrible. You come across a taipan on the trail, you get bit, you're dead. 30 minutes flat.
Wait, I'll tell you, that's a very interesting story. Let me tell you. I was in a concentration camp. You never even suffered 1 minute in your life compared to what I went through.
Look, I'm saying we spent 42 days trying to survive. We had very little rations, no snacks.
Snacks? What are you talking snacks? We didn't eat sometimes for a week, for a month. No. We weighed nothing. I went from home.
I mean, I couldn't even work out when I was over there. They certainly didn't have a gym.
What?
I mean, I wore my sneakers out, and then the next thing you know, I've got a pair of flip-flops.
Flip-flops?
We slip on the ground, on the dirt. Okay, 118 degrees during the day, 98 at night with 98% humidity.
45 degrees below zero.
Did you guys have a bathroom?
A bathroom?
We didn't have one.
We had 12 people at a time with go and shut
Well, I'm
up.
Sure you had toilet paper.
We had newspaper.
We had mosquitoes.
And mosquitoes. You see this glass eye?
Have you even seen the show?
Did you ever see our show? It was called The Holocaust.
Look, all I know is I was damn close to that $1 million, all right? And the whole time, everyone's backstabbing me and undermining me, trying to get me kicked off the show.
You don't have to make yourself here. Talking about survival. I'm a survivor.
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 Knocks over the gravy in his lap.
Oh, somebody get a sponge.
I don't understand. Why don't you get a sponge?
Oh, I had to hand it to him. I mean,
genius.
Yeah.
I am a survivor.
That Colby kid did a great job, too.
I thought he was real good.
God, didn't he play a great reality show idiot on there?
Flip-flop.
Thinking that he actually accomplished something?
Yeah.
You know,
and when he said that, he goes, we hardly had any rations. We didn't have any snacks.
Snacks.
I mean,
well, we certainly didn't have a gym. I couldn't work out.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you laughed, it was because of something stupid he said.
Right.
I don't think in any way they were making fun of the Holocaust. I think he was making fun of more the idiocy of some of these reality shows and their dumbass contestants who thinks that they're actually roughing it with a camera crew with power bars on them standing around them.
Hear this Holocaust.
Yeah, the Holocaust was just kind of a foil in the thing, really.
And here that Holocaust survivor is just sitting there staring at him. And this guy was... he was beaten down to holy hell. He had the DTs. He was shaking a lot, you know, like an old man would. And he had the glass eye. And Colby goes...
Have you ever seen our show?
Yeah. All I know is I almost won that $1 million. $1 million.
It's so funny. He starts telling the story, and only the Cheryl Hines' sister is enthralled by what he's saying. Everybody else is like, oh, God.
Yeah.
What are we into here?
It was very funny, but I can't... People were offended by that. There's no question. As easily as people are offended, I'm sure some... There's a large Jewish faction out there that was offended by that.
Well, have you heard of any fallback on that?
I've heard of no backlash, but you know it happens. I mean, if people were offended by the boob, then people were offended by that.
There's a lot of difference between the two.
There's a huge difference. If you watch HBO and you watch Curb, you know what you're in for. It's not as if you just turned it over and said,
you know, you're
what is this?
For Holocaust
jokes?
There's
a lot of difference between watching Curb and the Super Bowl.
True.
Hey, they've stepped on quite a few toes this season.
Well, that's true.
They've tackled race relations and the size of certain members.
Yeah.
This is right along the line.
Blind people? You mean like guys who are 6'5", 6'6"? Is that the kind of size you mean?
No, he means the size of...
Like of what?
Muggsy Bogues' dingus.
Yeah.
That's...
Oh, I thought that was a... I thought it was a very funny episode, though.
Well, I did think it was a genius...
And to me, the funniest part was when they were renewing their vows,
God.
And, you know, the line was, you know, throughout eternity. And Larry thought, well, he had a problem with that because he thought once you die, then his commitment to marriage was over.
Yeah, he can date anybody he wants.
Yeah, his words.
That's what I'm thinking.
Quote unquote, well, when I die, I mean, I thought I was going to be single again.
You're going to be single.
You want to hear his wedding, his vows?
Oh, yes.
The one with the pretty?
Yeah, because he forgot. They wrote their own vows to renew their 10-year wedding anniversary or whatever. And
he was so wrapped up on getting laid.
He forgot to bring his vows.
Wouldn't you be if you had a chance to be with Gina Gershon?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's okay.
That was funny, too, when he almost screwed that up because he wanted her to take his dry cleaning.
So here's him winging his 10-year wedding vows.
Things have been good. It's a very good relationship, 10 years. Pretty good. Pretty good. And I am your devoted servant. Well, I don't know about servant, but, you know, I'm not a servant, but I'll certainly help you. If you ever need help with anything, you know that. I'm in the house a lot. Want to open up a bridge table or something? You know, whatever you need. I'm not a great handyman, and I'm not good at making plans. That I don't do very well, I have to admit. She makes the plans, you know. She makes good plans. We always have stuff to do, and I will love you for the rest of my life. Until the day I die, I'll love you until death. That's a pretty good thing. Not that many women have that. Right now, till the day I die, there will never be any other woman till death. And, you know, and we don't, you know, so after death, who knows what happens? Even you don't know what you've done, what cut.
I promise to love you through all eternity.
All right, eternity.
Great.
Pretty good.
All right, eternity.
Did you see Gina Gershon runs?
Down.
Oh, wow. But then that was funny, too. You know, he was going to this hotel room to hook up with her, but he just can't go there and have a good time. He takes his laundry where she could, while she's at it, she can take his laundry for him.
You got to watch it tonight, Mike.
Oh, gosh. All right, the Ranch Report with Mickey Spagnola is coming up next here on The Ticket.